The good in human affections must have ascendancy over the evil and the spiritual over the animal, or happiness will never be won. The attainment of this celestial condition would improve our progeny, diminish crime, and give higher aims to ambition. Every valley of sin must be exalted, and every mountain of selfishness be brought low, that the highway of our God may be prepared in science. The offspring of heavenly-minded parents inherit more intellect, better balanced minds, and sounder constitutions. If some fortuitous circumstance places promising children in the arms of gross parents, often these beautiful children early droop and die, like tropical flowers born amid alpine snows. If perchance they live to become parents in their turn, they may reproduce in their own helpless little ones the grosser traits of their ancestors. What hope of happiness, what noble ambition can inspire the child who inherits propensities that must either be overcome or reduce him to a loathsome wreck? Is not the propagation of the human species a greater responsibility, a more solemn charge than the culture of your garden or the raising of stock to increase your flocks and herds? Nothing unworthy of perpetuity should be transmitted to children. The formation of mortals must greatly improve to advance mankind. The scientific morale of marriage is spiritual unity. If the propagation of a higher human species is requisite to reach this goal, then its material conditions can only be permitted for the purpose of generating. The fetus must be kept mentally pure, and the period of gestation have the sanctity of virginity. The entire education of children should be such as to form habits of obedience to the moral and spiritual law, with which the child can meet and master the belief in so-called physical laws, a belief which breeds disease. If parents create in their babes a desire for incessant amusement, to be always fed, rocked, tossed, or talked to, those parents should not in after years complain of their children's fretfulness or frivolity, which the parents themselves have occasioned. Taking less thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, less thought for your body, what ye shall put on, will do much more for the health of the rising generation than you dream. Children should be allowed to remain children in knowledge, and should become men and women only through growth in the understanding of man's higher nature. We must not attribute more and more intelligence to matter, but less and less, if we would be wise and healthy. The divine mind, which forms the bud and blossom, will care for the human body even as it clothes the lily. But let no mortal interfere with God's government by thrusting in the laws of erring human concepts. The higher nature of man is not governed by the lower. If it were, the order of wisdom would be reversed. Our false views of life hide eternal harmony and produce the ills of which we complain. Because mortals believe in material laws and reject the science of mind, this does not make materiality first and the superior law of soul last. You would never think that flannel was better for warding off pulmonary disease than the controlling mind if you understood the science of being. In science, man is the offspring of spirit. The beautiful, good, and pure constitute his ancestry. His origin is not like that of mortals in brute instinct, nor does he pass through material conditions prior to reaching intelligence. Spirit is his primitive and ultimate source of being. God is his father, and life is the law of his being.